think it was the Hall of Fame shortstop, Ernie Banks, who said...
Chicago Cubs.
He said, let's play two or something. He said, it's a beautiful day for a game. Let's play two.
Sure.
So, and his...
Ernie just died this year, I think.
Oh, did he? Oh, there you go. I didn't even know that. I just thought it was appropriate.
Mr. Cub.
Who's this?
Mr. Cub.
A very nicely, according to all reports, he was a very fine, very nice person.
For another time. Next week, David will reminisce about his memories of Ernie Bank. So, the Mishnah Chavav on the base.
Very pleasant man.
I was actually towards the end of Shai's Kabura, Shai was actually talking a little bit about.
Do you have another copy?
I'm trying to amend that.
I think right. I'm giving it.
Whatever Shai said.
Okay.
So just one point about the title. When I handed out the sheets, there were two basic reactions that were pretty common. One focusing on the Isser Sota, like, oh, this is an Ivamis. No, this is more about the Hetar Nusa, it's going to be more of a focus, that's number one. And number two is, when people see this Sigya, oh, Sota, Anusa, the Marik. It's like, oh, been there, done that type of thing. So I particularly like Sigyas like that, where people have an adjective, been there, done that, because I think going over things one more time, maybe we can bring out something beyond just the Marik. So what we're going to try to do today is, a little bit more than just the Marik, as wonderful as the Marik is. Okay, so the Mishnah says on Chafav on the Beis, Ha'ish shenech b'sha b'day obi kachavim, Aydem mamu tes l'bayla, Aydem mifash was asur l'bayla. So a woman is in prison by Goyim, if it's Aydem mamu, and if they're requesting mamu from her, from her husband, she's mutaris, Aydem mifash was, if they're threatening to kill her or her husband, whatever the case may be, she's asura. So the basic machlokas we've shown him, how to understand this Mishnah, what are we referring to? What type of woman? And there's three shittos. The Rashi says, we're talking about an Eishes Yisrael, and she's a Asura to her husband, because we're Choshesh, she's Mizana Birasa. While she was imprisoned, it's much easier to understand the case than the Fashos, she's afraid for her life, so she might be Mizana with them in order to save her life, like the Gemara Bar Zohar says, Isha Klei Zayna Mitzuya, so she can easily save herself through Znus, and that's what we're Choshesh for. So the Mishnah is talking about an Eishes Yisrael. The Rambam is called Rambam, as the first one on the sheet, Rambam Michalos Yisrael. He clearly understood the Mishnah referring to an Eishes Kohen only, which explains why she's Asura, because it could even be Ones. So Beinai Defashos Beinai Dimamun, if there's going to be a Chashash of Ones, then she's going to be Asura to her husband. For the Rambam, the Lashon of Baila in the Mishnah is obviously an issue, but Rishonim already say, many Rishonim adopt the Rambam's approach, basically all the Chachmei Sfarad and Shulchan Aruch, and they all say that the Baila is just in context of the Perek. If you've been learning this Perek, you've noticed the trend that we're talking about issues having to do with an Eishes Kohen, Shvuya. The next Mishnah is about Eishes Kashua Karakom. Again, clearly these are all about Kohanos. So the Mishnah said Labayla, and why does it say Labayla? There's an extra rebuy, an extra chiddush in that, but that's not for now. Why didn't it say Lakohen? Why did it say Labayla? It's misleading. It makes you sound like Rashi. For Rashi, that's the best right, obviously. Tosos takes a middle position. Tosos says that the Reisha. Right, exactly. The Ramban and other Rishonim say for the Ramban that's to explain the Lashon of the Bible. Tosos takes the middle position. Tosos says that the Reisha, where we're talking about Aydei Mamon, that's referring to an Eishes Kohen, because if it's Aydei Mamon, then there's no reason for it to be Mizana, Beratzon, and moreover, Tosos has Raya in the Gemara, why that can't be the case, that we're Choshesh. Says Tosos, but the Seifa, which the Ayli Nefashos, Asur L'Bayla, that's talking about an Eishes Yisrael, because indeed we are Choshesh for Ratzon, like Rashi said. And there's lots of riots and there's kashas back and forth, but that's not really what I want to focus on. I want to focus on
Just when you said the pshat about that she's going to try to save herself,
by, that's what Tosa says, but you think that's definitely one Rashi?
Yeah, so they ask, you know, do Rashi and Tosfos agree? I mean, Rashi is whole, but no, but Hefker, Chodesh Shem is not the Bechamim. Meaning, because it's been so many times. So
or I would say there's the type of behavior that, you know, she's subjected to changes, you know, that's the kind of thing that a person loses their
they lose their bearings.
Dignity and their bearings.
Right, so the Ramban, I have here the end of the Ramban. The Ramban asks like five or six kashas on Rashi, which all come back to the same basic point of, if you're going to tell me we're always Chodesh for Ratzon, when someone has you know, the right to do whatever they want to a woman, right. So I'm going to bring you Gemara after Gemara when that's not the case.
Right.
You know, we're never choshish for that.
Right.
So I think the way I think what Rashi would say to all those cases is that Rashi doesn't mean no one go hefker, they can do whatever they want. So let's say Achashverosh could do whatever he wants to Esther as many times as he wanted it, whatever he wanted.
Right.
So you could tell me, well, Esther was a tzaddikas. Okay, that's one way to say that. But alternatively, the pshat here isn't that because they're doing whatever they want, we look at their attitude, and that's why we're cautious for Ratzon, because at some point she's going to break down. It's more like, we're worried about her perception. What's her attitude? Is her attitude, my life is at stake, therefore it's wise for me to be misratza to them in order to save my life. It's not.
You could just say something, which is that what Nogin Bahetra means, that the, you know, that they're assuming she's basically, they basically view her like chattel because they're threatening to kill her after all.
Right.
So just in terms of what, I mean, that's not the same thing that you have. It's not that nobody's stopping them from doing whatever they want, like you have with Dr. Schreiber. It's specifically in this context where they're holding her.
Exactly. And that's what I want to say.
They basically already view her. They've already dehumanized her, so they interact with her in a certain way, and that kind of interaction is likely to, you know. Perhaps I think
to break her, but if it's just a matter of breaking her down, so why would she be? It's not, you know.
No. Meaning that because that sort of they treat her like property, it changes the personality, it makes them somebody uh-huh. sort of hold, you know.
The
what?
Uh-huh. But it's the opposite. He's saying because they look at her like chattel, she might end up looking at herself.
No,
but
they treat her like chattel. They, I mean, not, you know. Not
I would say the opposite. I was thinking that she be.
Well, not quite. Zakum was.
I would say, I would see it as that when she's in a situation where her life is at stake, she might resort to something that she wouldn't otherwise
right.
do. And knowing what Hefker doesn't mean, you know, they can do whatever they want, it means that she sees that her blood is cheap.
Well,
yeah.
Like the prison study.
Yeah.
The prison guard study.
Okay. Alright. Fine. So the Ramban asks a whole slew of kashas on Rashi, and then at the end, and the strongest, just to know, you know, we're not going to go into this, but the strongest kasha on Rashi is, you know, what he says towards the end, not here, says, Benos Sok Sheiro say, you know, what kind of kashash is this? Why would we be, how could we be choshesh, min hastam, you know, Shai was talking, here's the time, Shai was talking about, you know, kashras and chazakos in general, you know, what stronger chazaka is there than that, you know, from Jews are from Jews, so why would we be choshesh for Ratzon? So Yesh Tari, it's Rashi, I mean the Gemara and Aleph and Beis, it's all, again, my focus Rashi, I don't know how to read it, but the Gemara and Aleph and Beis seems to, at least in some cases, say the exact same thing, that we are sometimes actually choshesh for Ratzon. But the last point the Ramban makes, this is what we have here, that the Ramban, at the end, he trains his guns on Tosos. And he says, Tosos, you know, he's mechalik, so that's nice. He at least is moda to the Rambam by the Reisha, but then he's by the Seifa. He's again like Rashi. If you look at the last line here, in Ramban, mafsikin hein hashmuel chatichos, Tosos makes a chiluk which he doesn't like. Ve'ina olu biyadam, it's not a good idea. The kol ritzish machas tacham utaris liYisrael. Forget about whether we should be choshesh. Ramban is going a huge step further. Ramban is saying that even if she would be Mizana Beratzon, she would still be Mutaris Labaila. So it's not just a machlokes Rashi versus Ramban or Tosos versus Ramban about whether Chashash exists, but a machlokes of what are the implications of a woman who is Misratza in this situation. Ramban says, Kobritzi Shemachas Pacham Mutaris Yisrael, that the fact that she submitted herself to her captors doesn't answer her on her husband because it was only due to her fear for her life. Yeah, 100%. It's on Rashi too. He's saying, Tosfos, you know, you were going in such a great direction, so why did you make this sudden switch at the end to holy Rashi?
It's like Pita
Kitana Onech.
It's another example.
Could be.
So
it's a model. Okay. But, yeah. Possibly Melech Bathsheba with David, if he was honest, Minastan didn't mean the early.
He forced her, but she was
means
the situation.
Right.
She actually
wasn't
found.
Could
be. Interesting. Just that, you know, just in terms of Parish HaMishnah, there's one, you know, it's not a third, it's not a fourth parish in the Mishnah, but it's another perspective. The Shita Kabetzis on Daf Gimel, for those of you who were at the meeting we had a little while ago, so you may recall that I'm a fan of Chaburos building off each other. So we're going to try to do a little bit today. So in Rav Uli's Chabura, he quoted this Shita Kabetzis. The Shita Kabetzis is defending the position that Rabbeinu Tam on Daf Gimel would not only say that there's no Issa Laboel by B.S. Guy, but not even Issa Labal. And one of the questions is, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, if you hold like Rashi, means Rivam, quotes our Mishnah, clearly Rivam read like Rashi, that Ha'isha Shenech Bisha, Bidei Gayim, is Asura Labaila, Li Yisrael. So you see that B.S. Guy asks as a woman on Bali Yisrael. So the Shizik Vaz here says, the middle paragraph, he says, Hanami Yeshivchos de la Baila Kohen Maini. That our whole Mishnah is only referring to Baila Kohen. So it seems like the Shin Tikwaz holds there wouldn't even be. Right, meaning he would read our Mishnah in light of Rabbeinu Tam that La Baila Yisrael, there's no chance of being Oser. Meaning the Ramban is saying that because of the Pachad, even if she would be misratzes, she wouldn't be asur to her husband. The Tikvah is saying, well, I could read the Mishnah even, like, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I'll read it in a way that it's not just because of the pacha, just in general, bia to a guy, to a guyish captor, would never ask to the husband. It's just another place where we've seen this Mishnah before. So, just getting back to the Ramban, so the basic question is, what's the Shan Ramban? You know, the Ramban says that Ratzon, which is due to pachad, is not going to ask her husband. The question is, why not? So, before we just jump straight into the Maharik, which is what, you know, people tend to do, so I want to go back a little bit and look at the nature of Issur Sota, and in particular, Heter Vemusa. If we look at Issur Sota, so just coming back to the Psukim give us, you know, contradictory impressions. You know, the Torah starts off by saying, "Ishish kisusei shel ma level ma." So ma level ma sounds like a premeditated act. She's there's many different versions of the term meila in this context, but betrayal, deceit, you know, some sort of heinous crime, a chilul of kedusha, all these things, l'chora, or usually, almost always, would involve a premeditated act. So that sounds like she needs to have some sort of active role. Then the Torah continues with the phrase of Nistara Behi Nitma. She was Nitma, she was defiled, which is Mashma, even something passive. And you see that in Chazal, where Chazal say, Hakol Hayu B'chlal V'Nistara Behi Nitma, until you have the Drasha coming from the next phrase, V'Hilo Nispasa, Ha Nispasa Muteres, but Hakol Hayu B'chlal, there's still some roshem of tuma from the fact that she was nitpased by another person, and we see that from the fact she was a surah Torah kohen. That's how Chazal know that she's a surah Torah kohen, is because v'nistra v'nitma. Even passively, there's still an act of tuma, and there's still an issa labal kohen in such a case. And then, as we mentioned, the psukim now swing back and say, wait, v'hilo nispasa, and Chazal have the drasha ha'nispasa mitares. So already in the psukim, there's a tension concerning the role of Ratzon when it comes to asering a woman on her husband in the case of Issur Sota. So that's in the Pesukim. In Chazal, we have two drushos. The two drushos, you know, we have to see, when we talk about the heter of Anusa, so are we talking about a heter which is parallel to the general concept of Ptur Ones, Mandalo Avid? Is it, you know, she's divorced from the Maisa, or is there something else? Is maybe there a particular degree of Ratzon required by Sota? Or even more, maybe there's another aspect of the Bia which Ratzon would provide.
You're suggesting...
I haven't suggested anything yet.
No, but I'm saying the question.
So wait till he suggests it, then come.
Yep, just on what he said.
Let him present a little bit, then you ask.
So we have here We're going to skip the Gemara Nidonos for a moment. We have in Chazal, I think there's two makoros for the Isser, for the Heter Anusa. One is, we mentioned before, Ksubas Nanaf on the Vez. The same Gemara appears in Nevamis and Nevavam Vez. And we mentioned, Vihilon is Pasa, Han is Pasa Mutares. So from the Dio Kapsukim in Parshav Sota, we learn that there's a Heter of Nispasa. Now, this makor on its own is hard to pin one way or the other. It just tells me, you know, it could sound just like the general concept of ones pattern from onshin, ones being, you know, a divorce from the maisa, so to here, you know, just like the term tefisa is used in Torah by rape and zvarim when it comes to pattern from onshin, svasav shachavima. So that same term tefisa here could also just mean the same thing. I'm not sure it points in one direction or another. But we have a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi means sota dalit, perek dalit, halacha dalit. I'm sorry?
It's a general term
because we're not talking about onshim here, we're talking about hetel labal. How do we know that ones makes her, meaning she was mitma? Like that's meaning chazal, meaning that reading the Gemara Shen and Alpha Mabez, it sounds like hakol hayu b'chlau. It's really the Gemara Nivamas use that lashon. Hakol hayu b'chlau v'nistra v'hi nitma'a, and then there's a chiddush v'hilon nispasa is matter. But ones on its own, we wouldn't necessarily have known. The Yerushalmi in Sota has a different makar, which I think is more in a different direction. Yerushalmi says, "Ton of Yaakov Reidi Kumer of Yonasan, Ve'ad Kisatis Tachas Ishech, V'chinit Meis Prad Onsin." Ma'at Shama Mina. So where in that pasuk do you see that there's a Prad Onsin? Amalei Ma'at Tachas Ishech LeRatzon Af Tam LeRatzon. So just like Tachas Ishech is LeRatzon, so too here is LeRatzon. So this Yerushalmi, it seems to me, is not just, you know, it's not related to the general concept of Tur Onshin. It doesn't seem to me that it's referring to that she wasn't involved in the Maisa Bia. It seems more like there's a parallel that's necessary. Rebbe suggested, just first I'll say Rebbe's suggestion, then I'll come back to my suggestion. Rebbe suggested that Tachas Yisheich could be read, it doesn't have to, but it could be read as saying there's a certain type of ratzon. I mean, kol tara kula, we might define onus and ratzon in one way. When it comes to the bia, which is an aser on a husband, there's a type of ratzon which is necessary. That's one way to be. My Gemara is trying to figure out a certain type of ratzon. I want to go a little further and suggest that matakas yishchik leratzon afkan leratzon tells us that there's a certain type of bia, not a certain type of ratzon. There's a certain quality of bia which is necessary to aser a sot on her husband, and that bia has to be a bia which in some way approximates, in some way it is trying to be a substitution of the bia bein ish l'ishto. So tachas yishech, just like there's a bia tachas yishech, the standard marital relationship, so too af kan l'ratzon, there has to be the relationship between bo'el and sota has to be one which in some way approximates the marital relationship, and therefore that attempted substitution is what asks the woman on her husband. Any question? That's a dangerous question. I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to move on. If you choose to have a question, then you can. So, moving along. So if this is indeed the case, so I think there are echoes of this idea, this idea that what asks the woman on her husband is the idea of tachas yishech. We find echoes, I think, in maybe two sugyas. One is this Gemara Nivamos. The Gemara Nivamos, you know, we've been assuming until now that there is an iser sota labal, which is true in our world. But it's machlokes tanoim. The Gemara Nivamos in Alfam Beis tells us that this wasn't always so clear. Rabbi Yosef and Kippar holds that there's no iser sota labal. It's not a lav. Meaning, what Rabbi Yosef and Kippar really highlights for us is that if you could read Parshas Nasa from today till tomorrow, and it won't become clear at all that there's an iser sota labal. I mean, there's a very elaborate device for determining whether a woman was mizana or not. That's what the Parsha tells me. You know, a husband suspects his wife of infidelity, so he brings it to the Mikdash, and they determine through this whole device whether, in fact, she's been faithful or not. So, you know, that's nice, but how do I know she's a surah? So it's based on a drasha. So Rabbi Yosef ben Kippar, so the Chachamim Darshan, just like it says in the Parsha of Sota, So too, it says in the parsha of Matzah Kushaso Achar Shehu Tamaa. So we learn from Achar Shehu Tamaa. Just like there's a lav of Matzah Kushaso, so too there's a lav of Soto Laba. And Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur has objection in the last one of the Gemara Nivamos. Rabbi Yosef Ben Kippur lav besoto lechle v'afilu zanoi nami. My taima havai v'ishach sitva. I mean, the parsha in Sota, the parsha in Matzah Kushaso, it says havai v'ishach. There's a machlokas Rashi and Tosos here. What does this mean? Rashi says that the act which asers a woman on her husband has to be one of havai v'ishach. So it can't just be a casual bia outside the marriage. It has to be that they actually got married. When she, you know, completely leaves behind her husband, she goes ahead, she marries another man, then she's left through. Now there's an iser masa gushasa. That, because she's had a very serious, concrete relationship with another man. A casual bia with another man, according to Yosef Ben Kippur, is not going to answer her. According to Tosfos, it's not about what did she do to leave the marriage. It's a question of what are the necessary steps that the Baal would have to take to bring his wife back. If it's a type of relationship where he needs to remarry her, meaning because they've previously been divorced, then according to Yosef Ben Kippur, there can be an Isser of Machzor Kushaso. But if it's only a relationship where they're still married and they never were unmarried, then there's no Isser, then there's no lot. But one way or another, whether you hold like Rashi or like Tosfos, I guess the interesting question is, what does Chacham respond? Meaning, you have a parsha of Machzor Kushaso where the Torah clearly says that the law would be transgressed derech havai v'ishas, one way or another. And that clearly implies sort of serious breakdown relationship and serious need for tikkun. So the Chachamim could just completely disagree. They could say, yes, that's true, you know, it says havai v'ishas, but we have a ribui from Acharei Shehu Tama'a, which tells me that it applies even in a case of casual bia with no shaychas havai v'ishas, and it's just a riboy telling me that there's another lav. Or the Chachamim could respond and say, it's true that there wasn't a complete breakdown of Ishus, it's true that she didn't go ahead and marry another man, but she had a very serious relationship with that man, something which in some small way approximates Ishus. If that's the case, that would obviously work nicely with the idea of tachas ishech, meaning what asas the woman on her husband is not just bia with another man, but some sort of attempted replacement, attempted substitution of one man of a boel for a baal. In the case of Gemara Nivamos, it's an open question. It's good, you know, how do you read Havai V'ishos? But I think if we look at the Gemara in Me'ilah, Yibches Amad Aleph, and a little bit of Amad Beis, then I think we see, you know, maybe more starkly that this is indeed the case. The Gemara there is trying to define the term Me'ilah. The term Me'ilah appears when it comes to somebody who's Moel B'Hekdesh, and they want to know, you know, what are the parameters of Me'ilah B'Hekdesh. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Nefesh, Echad Yachar V'Echad Anasi V'Echad Mashiach, Kisim Ol Ma'al, Ein Ma'al Ela Shinui. So Ma'al means Shinui. V'Chenu Omer, Yishish Kisitei Yishtel Ma'al Ova Ma'al. V'Omer, V'Yimau B'Elokei Avosehem, V'Yiznu Acharei V'Olem. So the Gemara brings two examples of Me'ilah from other contexts to tell us what constitutes Me'ilah. The two examples the Gemara brings are Sota and Avodah Zarah. So what do those add to the concept of Me'ilah? And both of those are called a Shinui. But each one maybe brings in a different aspect. So Tosus there. There's Tosus in Me'ilah. So there's two Tosus in, one right after another, which discuss the idea. The first one says, In Me'ilah el Shinui, Perish Mikodesh Lechol. Hard to read Tosus in Me'ilah without the sheet of questions on the side, but basically Mikodesh Lechol. We'll just stop there. Umay Tzirai Misota She Ose Shinoi Shemenachas Baila Veosekes Umad Bekes Bedavar Shuchun Gunayla. So there's a concept of Shinoi when a person switches Mikodesh Lechol, meaning that would be taking hektation, using it for whole purposes. Just like by Sota we find the concept of Shinoi, where she leaves aside her husband and she goes ahead and she associates herself. It's not just an association, she's madbekes herself with another person. The Shita Kvetz translates throws in the word benoev shela, the boel, and he that boel is chulun gnaila. So there's a switch of sorts. There's a shinui. She's substituting a boel who is chulin for a baal who's like hekdesh. And as we know, the lashon of kedushin comes from the lashon of hekdesh. In the next Tosfos,
couldn't the davar just refer to the ma'aseh biyah, not to the boel? That's what he means.
So Shin Gavetz throws in the. I mean, he takes out the words davar shahu and throws in no eif. But also, it's hard to. Use, I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, my bekes, the dove, meaning she's my bekes and my sabia. It's like a strange type of.
I think they use the lashon my bekes and my sabia.
No, of course. Meaning, but then it wouldn't be my bekes be my sabia. It would be my bekes al yedei my sabia to a boel. Meaning, one doesn't have dveikos with a my sabia. That's a non-secular. Dveikos with a boel.
It also be dveikos with a ma'aseh biyah.
What do you mean?
So on the level of idea, meaning if a person performs an action, then
it's dovah to them. The action is dovah to them.
The action represents an idea, and they, by performing the action, buying into the idea.
And that would be the shinui, meaning you're being mishana, you're maneches. Manachas ba'ala umad bekes in the idea of bia with bechule. I can't prove that you're wrong. I guess I think the way I'm suggesting is maybe a little more. In the next Tosos, I think it's gotten much clearer. I hear. I mean, yeah, and then you have a question of misfar, like what does that mean to be manachas? Like, I mean, she's manachas kedushas ishas ve'umad bekes be'bia chutz l'isha.
This idea of tvikos kasha, just as an example that you can talk about tvikos to something.
Right, that's probably like the exceptional, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu usually is, he's the exceptional case where we use lots of terms, especially verbs. Right. So Baal Por is an entity. I mean, he may exist or he may not exist.
That's not how the Gemara understands it. The Gemara understands it.
To the Ka'a.
Kind of an idea.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So I think in the next Tosos, becomes a little more clear. The next Tosos, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Tosos is basically father. In the first two paragraphs, Tosfos basically asks, Tosfos basically says, why do I need two examples? The Gemara says, "In ilo shinoi, v'haraya sota, v'haraya vodozar." So what does each one add? So Tosfos initially says that from sota we get the idea that you can be mo'el with hana'a without a shinoi rishus, and from vodozar we get the idea that you can be mo'el with shinoi rishus without hana'a. Okay. Then Tosfos says, really? Isn't there a shinoi rishus? That was the first two paragraphs. The third paragraph, Isn't there a shinui rishus from the sota when she leaves her husband and she goes to rishus haboel? Yesh lomar, no, there's no shinui rishus. Good. The next paragraph, im tomar, now in the fourth paragraph, if it's true that there's no shinui rishus by sota, so then what does the Gemara mean? The Gemara said ein mi'ilu ela shinui shnemar kisimo ba'al b'isha. So kisimo ma'al b'isha. So it says, wait. So I just finished telling you that the whole concept of shinui rishus doesn't apply to sota. That's just hanav without shinui rishus. So what does the brisa mean? Michael Omer brisa emet yila el shinui. The yeshlomah is not on the fifth paragraph. Yeshlomah. Two answers. First answer: the ikur samach ami yila davos kol chavim. The ma'isim levasof mikomah agav orchei ma'isim yila the sota. Lashmi ina the shaych ami yila behakdesh benene belo shinui ublo pekima dume the sota. So the first answer is, but you're right, really the concept of shinui rishus only applies to Avodah Zarah, it doesn't apply at all to Sota, and that's really what the Braisa meant. So when the Braisa says, Ein mi'ila ela shinui, v'cheinu omer ish ishki sisei yishto mal avo mal, so it didn't really mean shenema, it really should have said that the Avodah Zarah went first, but we wanted to teach along the way, we wanted to get to the point that there's also mi'ila when you have hana'a without shinui rishus. So according to this first answer in Tosos, there's no concept of shinui rishus relevant by a sota. Inami, second answer in Tosos, Nehi deshinu mishus leka besoza ki the pirishes sheena yotza mishus habal v'kach mikomakom ikashinu k'tas. So Tosa says, you're right. If it's true that a woman, when she's mezana tachas baila, when she's a sota, she doesn't leave rishus habal. She's not divorced. You know, they're still married. Mikomakom ikashinu k'tas. There is an element of shinu, and the term me'ila, the Torah uses it in the context of a sota. It doesn't just mean that she was somebody else was nehene from her, and there's some sort of chisaron due to hanah, but it means that there was some sort of shinui. She, in some sense, she did leave her husband. There's a chisaron, a relationship to the husband himself. There's been a switch, a transfer, a substitution of boel for baal. So based on this, you know, again coming back, we have this concept in Yerushalmi and Sota that the makar for needing ratzon is tachas isheich. What asks a woman on her husband is not just a ma'aseh bia, but a ma'aseh bia b'ratzon, because ratzon is an element of bia which approximates the ishos relationship. We have the Gemara Nivamos, where the Chachamim maybe have to respond to this and keep our and tell us that yes, a sota, there's no need to remarry her, and she didn't actually marry somebody else, but the terms of Ivy Ishos can relate in some sense to a sota. And we have the Gemara Me'ila with the Pesach of Tosos, where Me'ila means Shinui, it means not just that somebody was Nehene from the Ishos Ish, but somebody actually was Mishane from Rishus HaBaal to Rishus HaBoa. Yes?
Is it clear in this Tosos that when he in the second answer, where he retains that there's Shinui the sota, that the Shinui is still Rishus Lishus? Because it sounds like he thinks in the analogy to Hekdesh that the Shinui is simply the fact that something cooler was Nana from the object.
You're saying at the end of the day,
not talking about Shinui anymore as Shinui in possession.
Shus.
So it's Shinui, meaning Al Yidei Hana'ah. So what does the term Shinui mean?
Just that it's like, it's purpose.
There's something changed
yeah.
about the object.
Right.
You're saying it's just a different object. I don't know.
In the Tinami, he's rejecting the Shinui's connection to Rishus.
I see. You could read like that.
How are you understanding the Ketzas?
I was understanding that there was a Ketzas Shinui Rishus.
What's the breakdown? What is it not? And what is
it's
it?
Not that they're not married anymore. I mean, it's not like she's now married to the boel.
She's still like the
Irish, huh? Right. And she would need meaning, Luyu too, there's no lam, she would need a kiddushin to the boel.
Like the b'chayim of the sota.
There is, meaning, a maitzah's nus from a baal is a, in some sense, leaving the rishus habaal. She's trying to break out of the rishus, and there is, you know, part of the mechayev, yes.
So it's like a mechayev, but there's no totsah of that? That breakdown? I mean,
there is
a,
mean there's a totsah. I mean, there is a totsah in the sense that, like, there's an iser laval.
No, I'm saying,
there's no totsah of needing a gerushin, yeah.
But I mean, with mechayev.
There's no yitzia from it, right? Yeah. Meaning,
the ketsas in terms of the mechayev of the maisa, but the lack of shinui rishus in terms of that doesn't manifest itself.
Or it manifests itself in a muted way, I think. I mean, it's manifested by her being removed slightly from her vow.
I mean, this, you're saying the Isser Sota is that manifestation?
Yeah. And that's, meaning she...
Isser.
Well, actually, I'm not sure if it's manifested through the fact that she's now Asura to her vow, or that was the, I think it's more like the Maisa which Asur her to her vow was one of Shinui.
Okay.
I think that's really more important.
That's what I
understand.
More what he, where she went or where she left?
The way she got out, yeah. Meaning the mitzvah she did, which took her away from her baal, was one of shinui.
But so you're still looking at it in terms of
shinui rishus.
Shinui rishus from.
Yeah.
Not to.
Yes. Yeah.
So is that perfectly consistent with the tachas isheich?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, tachas isheich.
But on the negative side, not on the positive side. You know, not so much that she exchanged, as that she forsake rishus.
She. Right. Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's not a raya to exchange at
right.
all. It's
right.
just that she's out. We don't know how she got
it's
out.
It's a yitzia. I think she killed something in the marriage, or she left something from the marriage. But it's not
right.
so much.
I guess.
Which I think is more what you were trying to say before, right? that it was more, before you're trying to say also suggest that it's, this is an Ishus Maisavia with the Boa.
Right.
And that she's exchanging, not just leaving him.
Not just leaving him, but exchanging.
Exchanging. Two, meaning also going to the big Nichnas.
Meaning a Shinu requires two parties. Has to, I mean, it's not just she's leaving
right.
Bo.
So the emphasis here is definitely the Shinui from.
Right, but a Shinui from has to involve some destination.
Maybe.
Otherwise, sorry. Meaning, aha, right, should be just be. She's now.
You're saying it's an act that represents a competing issues.
Right.
That's what you want
mm-hmm.
to answer that?
Yeah.
I could explain Shinui Rishus in terms of, I mean, you don't have to say that it's the, you know, a lot of, the equivalent of a lot of parameters that would have manifestations, but just in terms of the idea of changing domains or competing domains, there's Rishus, you know, Rishus Yishin, there's Rishus, you know, the Boel, in the sense of just competing Yishus, not necessarily in terms of like a lot of manifestation.
What do you mean?
Before you were saying that you were saying, David, that there is a Shinui Rishus and that now you're going to be a Surlo, so that the
right, that wasn't the point. Yeah. I struck you. Yeah. Sure.
So I'm not sure whether this is so different from what we've been saying, but is it possible that one of the things that's going back and forth here is the question of whether to look at the woman as both the subject and the object, and can we do that in the C1? Meaning, if we're talking about a Shinui, then she is being Mishana, the direct parallel to Milo would be that she is being Mishana herself, from her husband's Rishus to the Rishus of the Boel. To say that we're substituting the Boel for the husband is slightly different than Mihila, because in a sense it's the Rishus HaBaal, which is Aleha, she's the object, and she's removed herself from the Rishus of the Baal. So you could argue that the Shinui Kitsas means that it's not quite the Shinui in the same sense as Hekdesh is a Shinui, because we view her much more as an actor than as an object. But at the same time, it is a Shinui because she as an actor is also treating herself
object,
even though that's
a
couple,
the fact that she's actually making a choice to. Do you mean
Shana
or something?
Yeah.
Oh, here. I don't know where you're going, but what you're trying to say, Tosas, doesn't that deal with the Rashi Yivamis, the Kiddush of the priest's commission myself, because of the issues of my father automatically through the results?
So you see from there, yeah. Right.
Not
see, if not for that, you would have assumed that the issue just ended. Right. And that, that would be a demonstration of Shinui. That would have been a Shinui Gomer if a Maisa's Nus would be Mafkia Kiddushin. It's only Shinui Ktas, because.
Yeah. Could justify the collect, meaning the upbringing of the condition of the Ishus the other understandings also.
Yeah,
through a merit, meaning just through merit itself, you could justify that issue.
Sure. Right.
I'm saying. That's
yeah,
I'm saying.
Meaning in the world of Hamina, we could think of many things which might be
not
the condition.
That's why it's not exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But just if. Yes.
That it seems that the words that I would use in the field, that Shinu has nothing to do with the event. I would think perhaps it would be met. She's a different man. She went from being a wife, where she lived in a certain way, and she lived the same way that she made that, a husband. So all that is a Shinu.
Right.
So, Tracy, the same over here, if you have a Shinu, different person, that's a different person coming in. What makes a Shinu if it's a different act entirely? The only thing you can think of different act entirely is what you said, what was yours? That came in there with Zaf and Yahweh, maybe Ilah. He should be shining because you just said that's a different act. Over there, actually, she's doing the same thing. The Mila here and there is the same thing. Really, it can be the very same thing. She's praying. She's going to church.
Right.
She went to a synagogue. She's doing everything essentially the same. But it's the work that she's doing here is different altogether. Just we're making this difference between There's much less shilas in America. If a person goes to a church, takes out a prep, takes out a, and does exactly the same thing that we're doing in here.
Right.
The only difference is not that we're doing differently. The she's not doing anything differently than she did before.
It's just the question
the
of who's
the. She's doing differently because she's doing Avodah Zarah and Kurdish. That's the difference.
Right. So that's exactly where I want to go.
That's what Tosha is saying.
That's exactly what I did.
You could have a real shili, and that real shili is nothing.
Right. It's meaningless.
It's meaningless.
Like, I think Rabbi, Avodah Zarah, as much as you do, it's meaningless. But at the same time, let's say we find by Avodah Zarah that you're only chayav for an avoda, which would be done definim. So I think that's a parallel to what I want to suggest, which is that just like by Avodah Zarah, a shinui.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm agreeing 100%.
It's so clear that there's no shinui at all by Avodah Zarah. There's no shinui, I mean, there's no difference in it.
Right.
They almost wear the same garments in some churches.
Right. So
she needs to whom?
Exactly. So it has to be the same type of maisa, just with a different type of person. So that's why I want to suggest as well that by sota, what we need is the same type of maisa.
The husband and the one who she's committing adultery with are really not different.
Right. In her mind, I mean, that's the substitution. But the maisa.
I mean, we would say, it's, I don't know the way they dash it.
Right.
Doesn't mean in her mind, maybe you're all the difference in the world.
Right.
It doesn't count.
Right.
But counts is what is different to us.
Right. But the maisa bia has to be one which is similar. And Yushami's example, that is ratzon. And just, you know, how do I know that ratzon is a part of what defines a bia shel isha? So I think if we were going to try to start defining what the bia shel isha is, a good place to start would be nedarim daf chaf amud beis, where the Gemara talks about bnei tesha amigos, and the first three are ema, snua, anusa. What's lacking fundamentally in all of those cases is ratzon.
Do you have a right for this? I think I have a right.
As I was thinking, the Gemara nedarim.
But I'm giving a right from Horios. I've tested up in the heart of it. What's the great one who lived with the general? She killed the general.
You heard it?
Huh?
You heard it?
Everybody knows the heroine.
Yeah,
Sister.
Yeah,
Sister.
Yeah,
she didn't do it. And so there was the greatest change possible. From a real great Jew, Asius Hezra
Hakeni. Right.
I mean, those of you just real Jews who had a king, but this Asius Hezra Hakeni to the other. She did the very same thing.
Right.
And there we say it's nothing. Because she didn't change, she did it for Hashem. She didn't do it against Hashem. She did the same mindset. That's amazing to say. She did the same maisa.
So I'm gonna get to Yad.
She did the same maisa, and that was different because she did Hashem. That's what I'm gonna say.
Right.
And if she didn't do Hashem, it wouldn't work.
So I want to get to Yael in a few minutes.
Yeah, are you gonna get to Yael?
Beis Hashem, yeah.
Oh, you have mentioned it here?
No, I didn't bring it here.
Oh, I want to say that I didn't see it.
So you're a sharp eye. So. But I think maybe ratzon would be a defining characteristic of what would be a bia shel isha. The lashon of Rashi there in Nedarim, he says, in the case of snua, he comments bia gemura hi hova kokach sona. It's lav bia gemura. I comment lav bia gemura hi hova kokach sona. It's not a bia gemura. It's chasson the ma'ase bia when it's under those contexts. Okay, so now al pizeh, I want to go back to the Ramban and try to, you know, what does Ramban mean? The Ramban said, "Kol rita machas tachad muteres l'baila." So let's try. So I think there could be three options. The first one would be that there's a general concept of ones. And generally find, you know, when somebody does something under duress, even if they made a bad decision, it might be that that's called ones, right? The classic case of, you know, Yehei Vayavo, Macholus Rishonim. And when if a person's in a case of, let's say, like Yilarayos, Yehel Yavor, and they were supposed to have been Nehra, but they instead chose to be Over, So the Rambam and others paskin that they're still Mugdar's Onesh, because these circumstances pater them from their Onesh, even if they made the wrong decision. So maybe that's what the Rambam means. Here, she was in a difficult circumstance, and we can understand that she was trying to save her life, so she's with Mugdar's Tabah. Now, this is obviously very difficult, because in general, there seems to be a chiluk between the question of Heter L'Shamayim and Heter L'Baal. That's the whole point of Chazal's need for a drasha here. We can't really compare Onshin to Heter L'Baal, and moreover, it's not really clear that this would fall under that category at all in the first place. She wasn't. No one said to her either, "Be mezana," or "We're going to kill you." She, on her own, chose to go ahead and you know, do something to save her life. Yes.
I'm not. It seems to me there are two different issues here. I'm not sure which one you're pressing on her. There's one question, which is the yisod hapoter onis rachon apatre or something local, right? And I was getting from before that you thought that there was a basis to say that it would actually be onis rachon apatre if we view that as not being your maisa b'chlal, so then
right.
You could, right? That's what you were saying.
Meaning you could read the drash of chanis hapoter, that's not really her maisa.
Right, and then you know,
it's not
right,
onus.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't say it's onus rachon apatre because
it's
not a question of rachman.
Lumaras is a davar in the same sense that lumaras is a davar in terms of yeshanu begin. I mean, that's
okay.
Sort of right. Then, so that's one question. There's a separate question, which is whether or not this would actually. I mean, let's assume that in fact that wouldn't provide any license, that any heter labala onus rachon apatre has nothing to do with anything here. I mean, that has to do with onshim. This has nothing to do with onshim. There's still a question whether or not this. I mean, do you have the same definition of onus in these two cases?
Right.
And that you might say, you might, right? And that very well could be. So when you say now that this Ramban, you're challenging this initial interpretation of Ramban, you're saying it's clear that the definitions aren't the same, that this wouldn't qualify for.
No, it's not clear. I'm
saying it could have qualified, but either way, it wouldn't be based on onus or kamana patri.
Right. It would just be, I mean, it could be there, just like we find by onshim that the geder is. According to at least the Rambam, the getter
yeah.
is that if you did something under duress, even you know, even
the
you shouldn't Rabban have done it.
Agree with the Rambam.
Yeah.
The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot in Sukkos, and he actually agrees also with the Rambam that that's actually what the pasuk is referring to. Losus Adavar refers to a case of coercion where you should have been Narag and you didn't, and chose to be over
right.
instead. That's what Lanaros Adavar refers to.
Right. So you could say that that's what he means here.
It
has to overcome two hurdles. That's what I was pointing out. There's
right, none of that undermines anything else you were saying.
Yeah. Right. It's just hurdle number one is that it's not ownership, so you have to assume that we do use a similar measuring stick to ownership.
No, so now, I don't know, what I'm saying now is it probably is a very good argument to assume that this actually would qualify for Lanaros Adavar in terms of ownership. But that doesn't explain.
Meaning that the Isra Labal is an onesh?
No. That's my point. In other words, it could very well be that it actually would qualify for that as well. But the point is, that wouldn't be the basis for being with Harris. I mean, that alone wouldn't work. I don't think there's a local reasoning for
that's what we said before. That's what we said. Right?
No, because
I'm
now
not
we're...
Sure what.
So
you're going to have between Onshin.
But there's two different questions I'm trying to explain. There's two different questions. One is the question of what is the yisod hapoter, in terms of what is yisod, and the other one is in terms of the definition of what constitutes onus.
Right.
It could well be that we have the same definition, or at least it qualifies for both. When you're rejecting this, what was this first option in the Ramban? Explain it again.
That we use the same, your second question, what's considered onus.
Oh, that's the same. Right?
What's it, meaning that we're going to use the same measuring stick. That's. Yeah.
That's your.
And
that. And measuring stick. Not necessarily
and
the same. So
B.
Never seen that, right.
And B. Another assumption you have to make is that this would qualify as onus, leading onshin. Meaning, because it's not that they said either tizane or tehareg. She was just in jail, and she figured that a good way to save herself would be. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just pointing out. No,
right.
You have to overcome those two hurdles.
Right.
An alternative. Alternative explanation of this Ramban could be if we assume that there is a more local definition of Ones and a more like local definition of Ratzon and you take the Yushalmi to mean, you know, it's not defining a Maisa B of Isha, it's just saying there's a special type of Ratzon and we'll get back to this when we come to the Ma'arik. And you can say that there's a special type of Ratzon necessary to Asr Nabal and this fails to get to that type of Ratzon. We'll come back to that. That would be an alternative. A third alternative, and what I want to suggest, think is a sharper way to say it, is that, like we saw from Tachas Yisheich, what you need is a Maisa B'yashal Ishas. And let's say, going back to that Gemara Nedarim, so Ema, Pachad, is something which definitionally undermines the whole concept of B'yashal Ishas. So the presence of Pachad in particular, it's not just that she didn't really want to do it, she had some ulterior motive which was more pure, it wasn't a pure Ratzon because it was adulterated by something else, rather it's the Pachad. The Pachad itself, the presence of Pachad, makes a Maisa Bia not a Bia Shal Ishas, and if it's not a Bia Shal Ishas, then it's not a Mi'ila B'Baila, it's not Tachas Yisheich. And that's what the Ramban means, that even though there's Ratzon, it's a full Ratzon, but it's a Ratzon which is due to Pachad. So that Pachad makes it not a Bia Shal Ishas and not Asura Terah Hatzon.
Are any of those Yim in the Gemara referring to the woman's Das or Ratzon?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I knew so. I don't think I have the Gemara here. So.
What?
Snua.
That's not my Pizdas.
She is hated. She is Anu So. But I'm not sure why.
He's forcing her. It sounds like it's a problem in like the way he's performing the Maisa
and Achanami.
But not never that we say that her das to determine.
I would have said that in the case where he's forcing her, she is forced. All meaning it's a two-way street.
But
if he's not forcing,
Nakamura,
if she's not forced, then in what sense is he forcing her? If he's not, if she isn't,
his intention is to evolve her bonus.
I'm saying that's the problem.
Right. That's the problem. It's like a quasi onus, not like a bishul, but not because of her das per se.
I'm saying we don't care. Her das doesn't matter.
I'm saying it's in that Gemara and Nedarim.
I don't have the Gemara on me. And when it says Ema, what? How would you understand Ema? He's the Ema.
He's intimidating her.
Right, so she's intimidated. No,
yeah, but it's still,
I mean, the problem is his.
Like what's kovea, right? It's the way that.
How do you know from B'nai, meaning the term Ema? You get that the kovea he's using scare tactics.
Right.
That's the problem. Not that she feels scared. I would have thought that Ema refers to her attitude. That's my understanding. So.
According to what you're saying. Like the other factors in the
dorm,
like
you
say,
snua. So, yeah, you have to go through each one. I can't say that for sure, but, you know.
No, according to this shot.
Theoretically, yeah.
Meaning there's
yeah.
a certain associated stature of Kedusha and other things.
Right.
Or at least a certain interrelated.
It can't be Kedusha.
Relationship.
Yeah.
By the
Boa.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A certain comedy and dynamic that's
so
associated
Ruston
with.
So Ruston is obviously like the primary fact that we can understand. But there might, yeah.
Sounds like from Rashi that he's like explaining them all in terms of the
including Ema or
Shaliba Alacheres.
Right.
That's right. Kol Kachsona, etc.
Right. Right. I hear what you're saying.
Eitz Murashi Yesh Lo Beis Nashim Savalaba Azu. Shahu Savalaba Alacheres.
Every one of those contexts could create also a situation where she's.
Right. It's reciprocal. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think Ema is something that, you know, kind of has to be her, but you know, even if what you're saying was true, it still wouldn't prove that it's not the case. It's just saying that, you know, he's the primary focus of that command.
Which is understandable anyway, because he's
right.
Initiates and this whole Maisa is his kubas anymore. So.
Right.
But it's a certain chalos of the issues, of the bias issues.
Right.
Maybe you could still concede the point and say that in case there's no. Like it changes
because she's.
We're still determining it based off his das, and since he's being called her bonus, and it's no longer Takas Yisheich. And just shift that even in the question of snus, it's not so much her das that's Rikovea.
Right, and then but then you know what would be.
She's not
what would be
implicit,
what it's always the Baal who determines whether she's a serious
husband.
I
mean,
he's Baal or Baal.
Right.
Again, these get back to the Mishnah balance.
But there's a Ratzon. The Gemara, the Yushalmi, you're
talking
about Ratzon.
Her das is significant insofar as it defines how we.
Whether he has to be Ma'ani is her or not.
Correct.
Uh huh.
It's like flipping
your right.
But either way, you get to the Mishnah Melach, which is the Mishnah Melach.
I'm reading and thinking about Yushalmi and so forth.
Elisha Melech has case, has that.
Right, where he's the owner, right.
Where he's bonus, she's baratzon, where he's baratzon, she's bonus. So the, you can have, he's mistopic dafka in most cases.
Right. He wants to know, right, if he's mazen, she's anusa, is she, is there an issa leboa in case where
that's
she was anusa?
Yeah.
Right.
Is there both? Is there one? Is there? He's got a lot of ink on that.
So Alpi calls that. I think now it's appropriate to mention the Ma'arik. You know, the Ma'arik has a sort of just, you know, the Ma'arik has a drush. The Ma'arik was talking about a woman who's mezana because of Omer Mutter. She thought that there was no Iser Znus. So she was mezana mitachas baila. So in Kol Terkula we say Omer Mutter Shogeg, and we know that a Shogeges is muteres to her husband. So maybe this woman, she muteres to her husband. The Ma'arik says no, it doesn't apply here. It's on the end of the second line. The Halok Siv Ish Ish Kitzistei Shlom Alam Ma'al BaHashem Dilish Dama Dafka B'Mukovenes LeYisr Elu Ma'ala Bo Ma'al Siv. So it's a Me'ila on her husband, not a Me'ila to Hashem. So that's why, even though she was Omer Mutter, she thought it was mutaris in you know, religious law, since the basic relationship she was mulling her husband, so then she's a surah to him. So this Ma'arik is very influential, just, you know, I guess mostly because the Ramah paskins it and basically comes to standard assumption of all the Achronim. So all the Achronim read every sigur in Shas in light of this Ma'arik. First of all, I think that, I mean, just to know, the Ma'arik is obviously a tremendous chiddush because he's making a drasha, and this drasha, as far as I know, is not in Shas. The Rambam uses this pasuk to tell me that Timo Ma'al Bisha Prat L'Shogeges, in that the Mayim isn't boding L'Shogeges, but that drasha in the Rambam and the Frankel, they don't even know where the Rambam got that drasha from, which is also interesting. But I think, you know, even though we don't know where the we don't know of a previous source for the Ma'arik's drush in particular, the idea, I think, based on what we've seen, we see the Divrei Ma'arik are Yusadim al Nepaz. You know, the idea is certainly entrenched in many things from beforehand.
Why do you think he's making a drush of any sort?
I don't mean he's using a human midos. He's saying that the.
He's saying that what
clearly
the
din.
No, the question, the assumption seems that he's rejecting is that whether or not you're going to be asul baal is a function of the avera of Eish Yisish.
Right.
So he's saying that law that.
But I didn't know that was an avera. I didn't know that God.
Right.
Told
so
me saying,
but who says
that
you're, you know, you're being over the law in a way that has anything to do with whether or not you're asul baal?
Just because of the kotar kula, we assume.
That what?
That if
this
you didn't know something was asur, then.
That's why
but that's the thing. It's not an ownership for the law of.
Right,
and
so
it could be other something that there is. But I think, you know, that's already also a chiddush. But assuming that there's not, so that then you.
Think it's pasha, like.
Meaning, you have an iser ish, and then you also have an iser sodala. These aren't the pasuk doesn't say that these are one of the functions.
Right.
What's your argument now that the Ma'arik isn't a chiddush?
First of all, that he's not
making up a new.
He's not making up a new drasha.
Well, he is making up a new drasha.
I mean,
no one ever,
really,
no one ever interpreted.
No
one,
it wasn't found beforehand. So, like,
he's the first
person
ever
knew about it.
Not everybody agrees, and it's not obvious.
I understand, but when Rebbe reads things into the psukim, I don't think Rebbe views himself as darshaning the psukim. The point is, we're reading back into the psukim.
No, but he's learning a new halacha from a diok and a pasuk.
Right. I didn't mean that he's utilizing your gimel mido. I meant that he's.
Which is where my other point is, which is that that in terms of the token of what he's saying, it's not such a finish.
Well, maybe
I'm not, because I'm not
because it's like it, but it's a very appealing thing, but it's not. It's a finish in terms of.
First of all, it comes murders already from Rabbi Natan. I mean, a large part of it probably murders.
So we'll get to that.
Only if you want to reject that. Also, Rabbi Natan doesn't say it in the same context, but. I mean, you always
the
chiddush is
disassociating the iser ashes ish with the question of the iser sod al-bala. That's not. So
okay.
And then he's just saying it's all. There's two different topics.
It's much more than that. I mean, he's created a new category based on a diok and a pasuk. You assess a chiddush based on you know, how innovative the conclusion is based on what evidence it's based on that existed previously. Again, it's not important so much to figure out, but this is remarkable. And it is a drop. I mean, it's a diuk and a pasuk which led into a very monumental conclusion. You could say it's very appealing, and then once you see it, yeah, that's what it is, but that's maybe an excellent drasha. But
it's also not good that should be talking about kavana, right?
It's not. Yeah, it's not like.
It's a huge kiddush, and
because modifying her kavanah.
Right. And who says it?
No,
even
so
if it is
you,
but
that's the point. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's.
But it doesn't matter. It's not
the avera.
It doesn't make
the avera. Isserishishish is not an onish. Onish. Shogeg.
Right.
We're talking about an onish.
Yeah.
It's not an onish for avishishishish. Who says anything about being onish for ishishish?
If it's just a description of the act, then you can't infer from there that if her kavanah is not involved, then it's okay.
The way I read it was, he's saying, you're telling me that he's shogeg, so the word should be put. Shogeg is relevant for onshimani surim. This is not an onshimani surim.
That's fine. I mean, no one's arguing
that.
You say that.
I think it's
in
the family reasonable, but also I think has a lot of.
Shogeg's the lesser. It's only Omer Mutter. He's not just saying shogeg.
Right.
He thinks
shogeg's
lesser, that's clear.
Right. Omer Mutter.
No, shogeg is Mutter.
Shogeg is Mutter, I mean.
Right.
Either way, it doesn't matter. There's no.
Okay.
Right.
Fine.
It
whether or not
matter.
It's a chiddush,
it is a
chiddush. It's an interesting.
Okay. There's another diuk. Diuk from the pasuk. Diuk from the gemara. Around the same topic in Orios, it says the difference between a good man and not such a good man. That they go by Laila, and one sleeps with his wife. So he was a tzaddik, even though the act had nothing to do with it. He's sleeping with his wife. Another man went into the house. It was dark. He slept with another woman, the Gemara says it. So the one who was a tzaddik really, he happened on his wife. It wasn't such a great tzaddik happened in this. So there's a deal that this happened even if he didn't have an intention. There's a deal.
Oh, you mean being medayik,
that
why are we saying he's not a tzaddik when he was
he doesn't know at the end that he's with
right.
That according to Gemara, apparently he didn't even know at the end until he woke up the morning. It's like
right.
A Leah and Rifka.
Right.
I mean, a Leah and Rachel.
Okay.
Well, the Rambam actually holds this too, that you can have without an iser, or something equivalent, still nonetheless have an iser.
Katan shachan. Look at that. Look at that.
Shomer shavim shazinza.
Yeah.
But that's not really. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
That's true, but that's not the. Go ahead.
Okay.
The question is,
we'll
why
come
is
back.
It
we'll come
so?
Back to other discussions. So the way like Achronim approach this sugya is, you know, again everything has to be read in light of the Ma'arik because we pass in the Ma'arik. So the Avnei Miluim, for example, the Avnei Miluim.
Again, doesn't have to, but it could.
Right. Yeah. He just reads it in light. I mean, everything is, you know, evaluated through the prism of the Ma'arik, and the question is, oh, do you hold the Ma'arik? Do you not hold the Ma'arik? So Avnei Miluim in Simei Zayin, Sifkan Dalid. So he quotes the discussion Rashi Tosos. And he quotes it from the Rashba. The Rashba has the same line as Ramban. And the Ma'aril says here, it's the second paragraph. So it sounds from the Rashba and the Ramban that any time a woman is not doing an Issa l'shamayim, even though she, I guess, premeditatively is straying from her husband, she's mutaris to her husband. V'zesh lo k'tivei ma'arik. Simka kuf samach zayin, famous ma'arik. So...
Now, the way where I... Just, you mentioned the ma'arik,
Exactly your case.
Right,
exactly.
That's exactly the
right. So there, right, exactly. There he'd agree that it was shogeg.
So he uses that case.
Right. So, you know, you could say enachanami. Like the Avnei Miluim says, okay, the Ramban is against Ma'arik, so enachanami, that's totally fine. There's no reason the Ramban has to be beholden to Ma'arik. Ma'arik does bring rayas. It's not like he just makes a dik and pasuk and moves on. He brings rayas from Gemara, but ikmi docha the rayas. Particularly from Esther, you know, that's
also not to belabor the point, but as I said, you can accept the esod of the Marik without accepting his application.
The application, right. Meaning,
that's an important, because some of the riots are really against the application.
Right. Meaning, so you could, meaning what I'm saying, you could hold like the Marik, that there has to be a certain, you know, that Rutzon by Ages Ish is defined in a certain way, and even though she was Omer Mutter, that's still considered too much Rutzon, in the sense of the knowingly deviating from her husband, and just draw the line somewhere else. And for the Ramban, the line is drawn that if it's Machos Pachad, it's not sufficient Rutzon. So that's also another possibility. Rav Yashiv, in his Aras and Ksubis, so he quotes this this Avnei Miluim. And he says, no, Lav Da'afka, could be the Ramban really holds like the Marik. And he's Mechalik in the type of onus which we're talking about. You know, in the case of, let's say, of the Marik's case, or in Esther's case. So you, Esther's case, the Marik's case, the woman is volunteering herself. Esther would not have been called Ahasuerus, had she would have just, you know, gone on with her normal day, but she chose to volunteer herself to Achashverosh. She left, you know, the Beit Hanoshim to go to Achashverosh, even though it was for Asas Yisrael. Apple Pekin, she's Asura to Achashverosh. Mash Ein Kain, says Rav Yashiv, here you have a woman who is, you know, she's imprisoned, and they're going to be boil her one way or another. And it's a question of, is she going to offer herself to them to kind of ingratiate herself and hope to save herself? So he says, well, you know, the Ratzon here is in the same type of Ratzon. Again, that would come back to the question of, you know, everyone could agree, the Yesod HaDavar, that what we really care about is like how L'Shem Shemayim is the woman and how much is she forced into it, and it's a question of where to draw the line. Alternatively, again, coming back, we could say that the Ramban holds like the Marik, and he could hold the Marik whatever, you know, in whatever case he wanted to. The difference here is, and the difference here is the role of Pacha. Again, like we mentioned before, the Marik's point is that something being L'Shem Shemayim on its own doesn't help. His major riot from Esther, he says, you know, she did a mitzvah rabbah, she tzila kol Yisrael, and afal pikein, she's a surah to her husband. It must be that Issa Labal, you know, it doesn't help that you're doing such a big mitzvah. So kol shekin, in his case, of Omer Mutter. But the focus, again, is that it's so L'Shem Shemayim. And you look at the Achronim, the Achronim take the Marik, is also that, you know, the Binyan Tzion, so there's, you know, if anyone talks about the Marik, so the next step they have to go to the Binyan Tzion. With his case, the woman, the guy shows up to her house, he claims that he's Eliyahu Navi, and they have to have a union, and the kid's going to be Mashiach, and the question is she Mutar to her husband? And the Binyan Tzion quotes the Marik and says, L'chora, she should be Asura to her husband, because like Marik told us, it doesn't matter that you're doing a big mitzvah. Binyan Tzion says, no, maybe not, because here, it's not just Omer Mutter, here it was really L'Shem Shemayim, she thought what she was doing was a big mitzvah.
Did they bring a riot also from Lot's daughters?
Not that I've seen. So that's interesting application.
Because Lot's daughters did L'Shem Shemayim, they saved the whole world, and that's
right.
What she
ended up saying. So I think, you know, that's, if you're taking the Binyan Tzion route, so then what you're saying is that really what we care about is, you know, yes, any amount of Ratzon is going to Aser on the husband, unless we can find some really pure motives that can explain why a woman would choose to do such a thing. I think that's kind of like missing the point. I mean, all those, as nice as they are, they're all external. They're external pressures that are influencing the woman. Pachad is an internal definition. It changes the character of the Maisibia, and that's where the Ramban is going. So Ramban, when he says that she's Muteris in this case, it doesn't have to be he's going against the Marik or the Binyan Tzion. It's not shy to the whole discussion. He's talking about the Maisa Bia.
Two arguments. First of all, I'm not sure that it's so partial that altruism doesn't change the Maisa Bia the same amount as Pachad. Like in Orwell's 1984, so he describes that the protagonists in the first wife, that every time she went in, she said, to shame the Communist Party.
Right.
So it wasn't a Maisa Bia of Isha. It was a different type of Maisa Bia.
Right.
So it could be that extreme altruism changes the Maisibia the same way that extreme Pachad changes the Maisibia.
I guess
it's an open question.
She said afterwards, this guy's such a mimobile and he's disgusting, and like no one in their right mind would have ever done anything.
In which case, right? Oh, Binyan Tzion's case, right?
She basically says, like, no woman
right,
would
but
ever go near him. If not
I guess.
Her.
again, it's an open question as to if we're going to, you know, say that there's a category called Maisa Bia Shal Ishos, so it's an open question of, you know, where the boundaries are. I think A, the Gemara Nedarim is kind of a good place to start, and B, I think, you know, whatever we do, we have to look at during the Maisa Bia itself, or in regards to that Maisa Bia, is there any factor which is changing it? And I think, in let's say in the Binyan's case, there's no difference. It was the same as the Maisa Bia with a Baal. It just happened to be with a Boel. And it could be, if after the fact, she was Toa al Sha'avar, and, you know, understandably so. But the Bia itself was, you know, she gave her...
The motive and the mode of the behavior.
Yeah, exactly. The mode of the Bia...
Once you're abandoning the physiological...
I mean, it's not just onus. Right. So, like, pachad and ema will matter.
I'm not really sure.
It's still different.
Okay. I mean, again, l'shem shamayim is...
It's very nice, but
it's nice,
to do with
right.
Ishus.
It's external.
It has nothing to do with the interaction.
I mean, hopefully every Ishus is l'shem shamayim. That's very nice. You know, I think that in the Ravid, it's the number one ranking. But... So that, I mean, that could be right to you. You know, the fact that someone's changed their mind, I mean, if I care, it makes it even more shalishas. So, anyway.
And also just the Binyan Siyun tries to argue.
Yeah, I mean, he, yeah.
You know, meaning he thinks that there, he brings the other Gemaras in Megillah, which means...
Right, I mean, the Sira in the Gemara in Megillah. Right, so the whole question, how do we read the Gemara in Megillah? I didn't want to get into that. But, you know, yes, there's a whole question. Is there really Rav and Esther or not? Because the Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara that Demarik is quoting, Kasher Avati me Achashoya Shavati me Mordechai, right?
Me,
so Beis Abba Kasher Avati me Mordechai. So she's a surah to Mordechai, but the Gemara in the next Amud, Keli Keli Amos of Tani, you know, Kakash Baruch, you're going to judge a Maisa Ones as if it was a Maisa Bratzon. Sounds like she was Ones. So there's many answers, and the Binyan Siyon. So he wanted to suggest that really, meaning like the.
His own purple.
But so I think he holds like the Maverick. Others say that really she wasn't Asura. The Sheet and Gobetes on the Achimel, when he's defending the Rabbinic Tam.
He says, number one, Kobita, we should argue on the Maverick. And number two,
right.
Even if we hold like the Maverick, this might be different from Maverick's case.
Okay. Okay. Other people say there's no Raya from Esther. Meaning the Sheet and Gobetes, for example, the Achimel, there's no Raya from Esther because maybe by Esther. She didn't mean that she was asur to Mordechai midin asal abal, but rather just that Mordechai wouldn't want to take her back. You know, once she's actually offering herself to Achashverosh, so she become mimas to Mordechai. You could also reject the raya from in this room actually many years ago. That raya from Esther was rejected by somebody quoted the Zohar that Esther wasn't actually Mizana with Achashverosh; it was actually Shade.
It
wasn't ready. Who was that? Or you could say that Ben Yehuda suggests that Mordechai actually was Megarish, or whatever. There's other ways to read the Gemara, but you know.
What is this? The show.
What is?
What was his point? The other ways to read the Gemara for what? What are you
going to say that there's no raya from Esther for the Maariv. There's no raya from Esther that a person who is in Mizana l'shem Shemayim is still asura to her husband. Or in terms of Rabbeinu Tam, there's no right in Esther that a person who's not a guy is a surah to her husband.
Because you might say he should not a surah.
Yeah. There's ways to, even the Gemara says Kasher, Vayat means Abba, Vayat means Mordechai.
Right.
You could say that the Gemara doesn't mean she's.
The general assumption for Shom is that Rabbeinu does agree that there is a surah.
Right, but some Rishon meaning, like, for example, she should go back to this in Meiri.
Right.
So some Rishon are trying to defend the idea of that there isn't.
But Rove defended by saying. Yeah.
And a Hanani is Silval, and no Silval, yeah. A similar attack on the Ramban, you know, on page 4, we see that in the Semach Tzedek, the Lubavitcher, not the Kadmo. So he has a Chidush on Shas, which I didn't know until recently. So here on Chavavim and Beis, so he says, he asks the Ramban from Esther, he says, Hagamshi Shechalik, the Hasami Atzal Haisa B'Sakana. Maybe he'll tell me it's different because Esther herself. You know, she could have been at least temporarily himalei beit hamelech. Achim nomer kahamban de kol shepach adam mirata osa ein ze ratzon. The way he formulates the question is, according to Ramban, if there's pachad, it's not ratzon. He's equating whatever factor it is that leads a woman to choose znus, if that factor is so, you know, so much forced on her, then that's not really ratzo. So again, so I think the response to Samachtet could be that you yesh lechalek, that Hatzalas Yisrael is a beautiful mitzvah and it's important, and it might have been the right, it certainly was the right choice, but Aval Pi Kein is a surah to her husband, because ratzon to another man creates a ma'aseh bi'ah with another man, which answers the husband. But pachad, if that's miratzah, it's not that it's not ratzon, and there is ratzon, but there's other factors which are necessary for a bi'ah shlishos. Yeah.
You know, it's not defined here, so Esther did it. She went to a big love. And he told her to do it.
Right.
Mordechai was just not her cousin.
Right.
And Mordechai was just not, he was the sorried Anshei Knesset HaGdolah.
Right.
And he said she should do it. He was the one that sent her. So he pasked the din.
Right. And he was even.
And the whole question, I'm surprised you don't bring Mordechai. The whole question is, he was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, he was the last one.
And Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses a woman whose husband told her to be mezana with somebody else.
That's different.
That Mordechai was also her husband. That's what I'm pointing out. He was the gadol dar and her husband.
So that is a small thing, because he could have divorced. That makes sense. He could have given her a get. That makes 100% sense. But I mean that she should do that.
And
Megillah doesn't talk about this whole incident because it's not a nice thing to talk about. They don't have to bring it into the story. But the fact of the matter is that he was the Pesach Hador. So you're asking, everybody says you can do it this way, you can do this research, so this time you say, I'm going to go back and forth. You don't know which one, are you right or am I right? What are you talking about? Whatever Mordechai Paskin is right.
But she's a surah. And Aval Pi Kein, she's a surah.
Yiftach b'doro and Mordechai b'doro.
What?
Yiftach b'doro and Mordechai b'doro. Or Shmuel b'doro. Here, the possibility that you need ratzon as a positive would be an afkamina, though. In other words, some of these cases.
I'm not saying it. Certainly. Just like Mordechai's a positive. We're talking about Mordechai's door. We're not talking about today. We're talking about Mordechai's door. They bring a right, they want to talk, well, who was Esther? Right. So that was Mordechai's door. So Mordechai had a right to pass it. Somebody could make a different place.
Mordechai Bedoro, Rabbi Chalak Bedoro.
No.
That's just
not in this question.
But the other pshat in Ishech, which is that you need the positive requirement of Ratzon, and therefore it's not just a question of the Torahs. These would be some of the nafkaminas, because some of these cases are not, you're not doing it with Ratzon.
I mean,
it's another motivation, is what I'm
saying. In which cases?
Some of the Lashem Shemayim.
It's not Ratzon. Meaning Esther is Ratzon.
In other words, what you're pointing out is that the pachad undermines the bias ratzon.
I'm pointing out that there is ratzon. I mean, the Ramban never said, the Tzemach Tzedek put words in the Ramban's mouth. The Tzemach Tzedek says, what the Ramban said is that if there's pachad, it's not really ratzon.
Right.
But he didn't say that. I mean, the Ramban just said, if the ratzon is machmas pachad, she's
in the
text.
Right, so you're saying it's a din in the chalos.
Yeah.
I'm saying this also works if it's a din.
It's not really Ratzon.
Yeah, both the Ramban and then also, but you'll have a different definition of what.
You have to figure out what, you know, how do you know when there's really Ratzon?
Right.
When there's not, yeah.
Not to prove whether there is or isn't, not to demonstrate.
But to define what type of Ratzon.
Let's say when you have ulterior motives, you're doing something intentional, but.
Right, then you have to compare like Toyo Vizavin and those types of things. You know, when do we say that Ratzon isn't really Ratzon?
Just give another interpretation, everybody talks about Robecha.
Right.
That could be the answer to my question. Robecha, who were the Robecha? Could be another thing. It wasn't.
Well, it's like Rome.
But nonetheless, the Gemara says that he was the only one.
Right.
That was there. So even if the Robecha.
Either way, they had the Robecha.
They were not in stature. I mean, the Robecha were poor here. Others were not. Who was? There was a daily maybe, I guess. Right. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says he was the only one. So that, you know, they were. They may have been good, but they were not the same good that he was. Because he was the only one in change.
in the courses he's listed two different cases on the list. Like first he was listed earlier, then he was listed later on. And the Gemara says that he listed two different lists of the Gedolim of that generation. One he was listed at the
question,
at the head of the list, and then one he was listed in the middle.
That's what it says. In both cases you have some external factor, which means they're not Rosa.
Very good.
So, why is Ramban taking the Teres if Esther was a suitor?
It still doesn't change.
I'm saying it's not the same. By Esther, there's a nice external factor, but the Bia is still here.
At the time of the Maisa of Esther,
and
Ramban
is saying,
and
Hanami, there's Rato, but there's also Tacha, and Tacha is the Machida.
So you're not saying that the distinguish between the Rato's
system? No, I'm saying that it's not enough to have it. Rato isn't sufficient to answer.
Because they're worried about why.
Okay. So I just want to finish. I just want to finish off.
That's your question.
I want to finish off by we can just another application of Tachas Yishayich, which Grant was brought up before. Again, when she tells you to go back to a previous sigur, previous Chabura, Daf Gimel days, and with even more geshmak is that the last two applications are both from Kosle Beis Midrashenu, which is very nice. So the Rabbeinu Tam and Daf Gimel. So Rabbeinu Tam Daf Gimel says that Bias Gai doesn't create an Isser Lavoa, and Machlokes Rishonim whether he would say that there's also no Isser Lava. Whichever side you take in that question of whether there's an Isser Lava from Bias Gai, you have to deal with the problem. If there is an Isser Lava, so that means that l'chora, that means that you consider Bias Gai a Maaseh Bia, in which case why is there no Isser Lava? And if you think there's no Isser Lava, so then you have to say that a guy isn't capable of Maaseh Bia. And you know, both of those have to be explained. So Rav Schechter, in Eretz Yisrael, here on the sheet, Rav Schechter writes, Rav Bulig, I think, brought this to our attention back in the day, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Oser, in terms of Bias Kai, is not the Shem Bia, but rather it's not a Maaseh Bia, which is Oser, but a Maaseh Ishus. So he says, a guy doesn't have a Maaseh Bia, but he has a Maaseh Ishus. And here in the second line, the Bezev Vade Moder Rabbeinu Tam De Isha Asur Al Baila, De La Asur Al Baila Sagi Vemesha Hishtatva Vemaiseh Ishus. So we see this idea of Tachas Yishayich L'chumra, that any time a woman, it doesn't have to be Bia which answers from her husband. It could be a guy has no halachic Maaseh Bia, but he still will answer because it's two, it's an act which is consecrated for husband and wife, and being mishtatif in it with another person asks her on her husband. And you're thinking it could just be merit, meaning
you don't have to go your way. It's like similar to like Jason.
That merit, I mean, is
the oser is merit,
right?
Without this substitution.
Well, what constitutes a merit? Meaning merit is going to be particular category
right.
of act which. You know, Rav Shechter has a very useful term for my purposes.
Yeah, I understand.
Meaning, merit, if she would start picketing outside, obviously right. that wouldn't answer her. It has to be something which, you know, the examples he's going to give are all things which are not Maaseh Bia, but something which is so close to Maaseh Bia that it is reserved for the husband. I mean, the husband has. So
again, is that all a
exclusive
merit,
right?
Is that all a sheer substitution?
Okay.
That's an open question.
No. I see, okay. Then, right. But merit is going to have to always be defined as merit. Ishus.
Of course, but not because of that.
Not because of
Tachas.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I think the mucker of Tachas, you know, would you know, come
to
indicate.
Why is a behemoth different?
A behemoth is different because he's so not anything like a Baal, right? Meaning, we, even Rabbeinu Tam wouldn't say that a guy is kibahemoth holdover. I mean, we recognize a guy is a person. He has ishus with other guys.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in many ways, a guy is different from Behema, including the fact that his ishus with the guy. We'll leave it for next year, maybe. What?
That brings back to the
right. Anyway, so Rav Schechter brings a raya from the Ram Paskins that Mikanai de Shachov. A Shachov, the Ram says, the person can't have kishui. And the Ram Paskins, the Hilchos HaSevia, that Bia, Be'evra Meis, is not Bia. So the question everybody asks is, so how could it be the Ram Paskin's that Bia, Be'evra Meis, is not Shein Bia, and at the same time Paskin, that there can be an Issur L'Baal when you're Mekana de Shachov? So there's two directions people take. One direction is the Beis HaLevi, who says that the Chiddush is a Kinyu Stira can aser even when something wouldn't have asered as a ma'isabia alone. You know, Schechter takes a slightly different approach where he says you don't need a ma'isabia, you just need a ma'isaishos, and Avraham Meis is a ma'isaishos even without a ma'isabia. What Rebbe pointed out is that even the Beis HaLevi has to hold to a certain extent of this concept of ma'isaishos without a ma'isabia, because the Beis HaLevi, kind of what we were saying, he doesn't say you can be, you can't do kinui for anything. You can't say you're not allowed to talk in the street with another person, right? That's not. You have to be kinui of particular ma'isim, and those ma'isim are beyond bia, but they're bechlal ishos, and that's why Avraham Meis or potentially a guy for a bin tam. Or another example would be
cases.
Right, the fact that we need a drusher for mekana for a katan.
Right.
We would have had a hadamim a katan pasuventesha. You could have been mekana for him as well in Shemet Yavam.
List, which is also listed in the Mishnah.
Right. Then the last source I want to talk about is a collector's item, as they say. So the Shari Tohar Revolk from the former Rashi Yeshiva here, you know, Dovi of Sisa Yeshayna Namish.
He was my Rashi Yeshiva. I don't know if he was anybody else's Rashi Yeshiva. My Rashi
Yeshiva. There
you go. Yeah.
So I noticed that the Shari Tohar, the Chelek Aleph, was published in the Bronx, which is my former stomping ground, and Chelek Vav Zayin and Ches were published. He made Yerida to an island further south. So I followed his path. The difference is that he went to Miami Beach and I went to Staten Island. So he was much more geschmack than me, obviously. But he has a better idea of vacation. But he writes there, Volk, he's defending the other position. He's defending the position that according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's not even an Issur Labal. And he says, what's the Pshan, Rabbein? How could it be there's no Issur Labal? You're going to tell me a guy doesn't have a Ma'isabiyah? Of course a guy has a Ma'isabiyah. Elamai. He says that what asks a woman on her husband is not just bia; it has to be a potential replacement for ishus. He actually quotes this Tosfos in Mi'ila, and if we go, you know, five lines from the bottom, he says, "Kach sover Rabbeinu Tam, shebeznus akum lo nesa labayla, yishum shesover shaydei znus akum lo chashiv afil afka b'miktsas mishus abal. Terachman afkei lezarei, v'harizah begedem asher amru b'gemar dezvachin dafgim lo shochei kachem shemchulin dekasher." The kachim mechalim kachim and chulim mechalim kachim. The min b'mino machriv, min shel b'mino lo machriv. In order to ask a woman on her husband, there has to be some potential, you know, substitute, some, you know, suitable opponent of the baal. And a boel who's not Jewish, he's not suitable as an opponent. He's nothing. It's like chulim trying to be machriv kachim, and it does. That's why there's no iser. So even though it's a ma'isabia, it's still no Issur Labal because it doesn't approximate the Baal's Ishus in enough. There's not enough of a potential substitution for the Baal to ask the woman on her husband. Another potential example.
I wanted to tell you something. He once said something in our class, I just now remember. Mm-hmm. He was a real Telsa.
Right.
I don't even think Baba Bash, I don't remember that. And he said once, he says, what is he? Erez HaMetz that is dead was his Titus left it. But HaMetz was his niche, not alive anymore. That was it.
Elio.
Correct.
So
back in the day,
nobody ever said it, nobody ever, everybody laughed at it, you know, right. Saying it. But he said, is that tight? Or
the
left.
So
dead, or just doesn't live anymore.
In Rabbi Rakefet's biography, he says that he was only in two shiurim in YU. He was in Revolk Shir, and then he was in the Rav Shir. And when he was in Revolk Shir, one day, Revolk quoted Reb Chaim. He's going on and on about Reb Chaim, and he stops the shiur and he says, when I say Reb Chaim, do you guys even know who I'm talking about? And they said, yeah, of course, Reb Chaim Brisker. He said, name! Unzer Reb Chaim.
Reb
Chaim tells it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that was why he was a different place.
I have to leave because I have to make a call before 5.
Okay. I think we all have to leave.
We have to go on to both of you.
So, just what... So what, just one more example. So the Rush there on that Gimel, the Rush says, he quotes Reb Chaim and he disagrees, but he says, it could be I agree with Rabbeinu Tam and Din, but let me start. And he suggests that there is an Issur Labal, but there's no Issur Laboel, because there's a prior Issa Lebo'el. And we never would say, Kishem Shasu Lebo'el, Su Lebo'el, when she was already Asura to the Bo'el. So one way, I guess the way I always thought of the Rush was that it's a kind of Ein Issa Chal Issa type of idea. The Rebbe was suggesting that the Rush might hold of this idea as well. When the Bo'el is somebody who's halakhically Asur to the Niv'eles, to the Sota, so there's a halakhic injunction on their union. So their union can't be one which will uproot the ishus bein ish l'ishto. These two people, halacha has defined that as in, you know, they're completely different categories from each other. Coming together will do nothing. There will be no sparks of ishus between them. So
you mean there's tefisas kedushin?
He says it depends on tefisas kedushin. That's
right.
Why it's not a din of ein ishur chal
isur. Ah, okay. Okay.
Why is it ishur?
There's the Issur Lebo'el because Rebbe was suggesting that from the Baal's perspective, the fact that she was with somebody else is enough to, you know, offer him and her, but from the Baal's perspective, we look at whether she could have an Ishus with him.
So not from because to you, the
Yeah.
But that's explained that Shita.
That particular Shita of the Rush about Issur
which is explaining the Psak of Rabbeinu Tam, according to the majority view, that there is an Issur Lebo'el with him. But it's, I think it's the same as so, just that
it might be
the Mechayev Abo.
Right.
I think I also meant that those Mishul and Malachs, whatever, that talk about the possible interaction, you know, three...
Okay, Rebbe was suggesting the Mishul Malach and Sota, so he talks about, you know, is Issur Lebo'el telling Issur Lebo'el, and, you know, could you have a chiluk in a case where the Bo'el was remezed and the Malachs with the Sota was Anusa, so would you say there's an Issur Lebo'el in that case? Because she's Mataris to her husband, she was Anusa, but he was amazed. And what maybe the Mishnah is bringing out is that the Issur Lebo'el and Issur Lebo'el, you know, the whole question of that sig is how disjointed are the two of them? Are they Tulim and Zabazeh? And if they're not connected to each other, then we might say that it's a question of, what I've been discussing in terms of Issur Lebo'el is how much is there supplanting of Ishus? And you could ask a similar question, which is not totally on the first one, which is it Issur Lebo'el, to what extent is that totally on his trying to supplant the Ishus? So, you know, all those questions may come back to this idea.
Especially the idea it's more likely that the Issur Lebo'el is a Mechayev of the Issur Lebo'el, but there are some indications here and there that the Issur Lebo'el is Koveya Legabe the Issur Lebo'el. And that would certainly be, if you stuck that in with the Rush, not what the Rush actually says or whatever, it would point in that direction. In other words, if you can't, if you don't generate an Issur Lebo'el because he's not a real candidate to take the place of the Baal,
right,
then you're not going to get an Issur Lebo'el either. So then the Issur Lebo'el is held hostage by the Issur Lebo'el,
right,
rather than the other. Very good. Thursday, regular time, 1:30.